You'll find the scripture tonight in the book of Psalm, chapter 91, and I'll begin to read with verse 1. And again, I do want to express my gratitude for being a part of this meeting. I'm humbled and honored to even be asked to stand in this place, and I thank God so much for what He has done for us this week. I don't know what He has done, all He has done, but I know that God has worked mightily in hearts and in lives, and I do appreciate each message. Every single message has spoken to my heart. Every message, I'm sure, has been ordered by the Lord, and the wonderful singing as well, how it's blessed and thrilled our hearts, and thank you so much for allowing me to be here. It has been good to be with Brother Dana and Miss Esther again, and the Lord certainly has used him.
Yes,
a man couldn't have preached like he's preached unless he'd been praying and been with God, and God has just given him liberty, and it's been such a blessing. He said this morning that I married he and Miss Esther, but I was just thinking, Brother Dana, I probably didn't give you much advice. I'd only been married 6 months myself. As a matter of fact, Miss Ann Critcher, who was is sister of Miss Esther, sang at my wedding, Sandra and I's wedding, and Esther played, so she may be paying me back. But it certainly has been a blessing to know them and watch God work in their lives and use them. And then I appreciate Calvary Baptist Church so much. I know that you labor and sacrifice a great deal to have this meeting. And as Brother Dana said, just all kind of things that have to be done on the grounds. And thank you for these delicious meals. And what a blessing this church has been through the years. As Brother Steve said last evening, 60 years ago, this past May, the second place I ever preached was at Calvary Baptist Church. Amen. And also on a Sunday night, which was the third time. And what a blessing it is to my heart that this church still preaches the faith once delivered to the saints. They have God's man who loves God. And I do thank God for Brother Steve and for Miss Barbara and for his family. As a matter of fact, I've received a blessing from all the messages you preached in between, and how God has helped us through things that you have told us. And I know that it's a great responsibility, and I know that he's prayed, and I know that God has given him wisdom and direction. But there's so much in my heart tonight, and I've never been very good at expressing to people what I feel, but I used to say when I get to heaven, I'll tell you how much you meant to me, but I won't have to, you'll just know. But thank you so much for being here. Psalm chapter 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold, and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee up in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Let's bow our heads, please, while we pray. Our Father, as we bow in your presence tonight, I ask you to forgive me, to cleanse me of every sin. Every word, every thought, every lust, every action, attitude, anything about me that's displeasing in your sight, I pray that you'll cleanse me of it. Thank you for this day, for all the messages that we've heard and the wonderful songs that have been sung. Thank you for the message we just heard by Brother Walker, and thank you for speaking to our hearts. And Lord, I do pray, should there be those tonight among us that are strangers to your grace, that have never been to Calvary by faith, may this be the hour of salvation. Thank you for this meeting. Thank you for Calvary Baptist Church and all the churches that are a part of it. Thank you for Brother Stephen, for his family. And I pray that you'll continue to give him wisdom and strength. Bless him and all his labors for you. Thank you for him. Thank you for this meeting, for this place. Thank you for every man of God that is here tonight. And I pray that you'll bless them in their respective places of service. Lord, I pray that you'll drive back every evil spirit, every satanic force, every demonic power, and shut us up to thyself. I pray now that you'll touch thy servant. I pray for that special anointing. I pray that when we leave tonight, we will be aware that God has spoken to us and that God has said something to our hearts. We love you because you first loved us and gave yourself for us. In the name that's above every name, the name of our blessed blood-stained Redeemer, I pray. I want to speak to you tonight from this chapter, especially from verse number 11. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Psalm 34:7 says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. I want to speak to you about a portrait of angels. Our text, of course, is a promise to the pilgrim. Every saint who has entered in at the straight gate and travels the narrow way shall be preserved and protected. This straight and narrow way, this straight gate, is not a turnstile. That is, you don't walk in and walk out. Once you're in, you're in. It's a narrow way. It's a straight gate. And John Bunyan said, I found out soon after I was converted that this is not a crowded way. But once you're in this narrow way and entered in through the straight gate, then it is an eternal thing. I hate these revolving doors. Not long ago at a place I got in one, and Brother Curtis, I thought I never would get out. It's like a merry-go-round. But when we entered in at this straight gate and the narrow way, it is one that there is no turning back. But we are a promised divine security. We're in a spiritual warfare. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And I don't have to tell you that there's a host out of hell marching against us, not only personally, not only our churches, but our nation. And it's been a blessed thing to me by design. I have not watched the news in 6 days. I have not even turned the radio on to hear the weather. I was afraid I'd hear news. I know that I'll have to get back to the real world. But it's been such a blessing just to be shut up to the Word and to the worship of God and the people of God. This world is no friend to the grace of God. And there are principalities and powers of darkness that are against us tonight. In Daniel chapter 10, the Lord of glory appears to Daniel. And in verses 12 through 21, the divine person fades away. And Daniel is left talking to an angel. The angel informs him of the prince of Persia, who has delayed his prayer for 21 days. No human prince could have hindered an angel, unless, of course, the devil possessed that prince. But I remind you that there is the devil. Now, I hear people say, the devil's been on me all day. I doubt that. I don't think there's a person in this world that's such a threat to the devil that he ceases going up and down the whole earth seeking whom he may devour to spend the whole day with him. Now, I do believe the devil visits us sometimes personally. I believe that. And when that happens, you'll write that in your diary as one of the darkest days you've ever spent. But most of the time, the demons and the powers and the principalities of darkness can handle us. But I am grateful that we have the promise. Those of us that are saved, not only are we possessed by the Holy Ghost, but we have angelic protection. There is a conflict in the heavenlies between the fallen angels and the sinless angels. If God would open our spiritual eyes tonight, we would see in the air and around us not only demons and demonic forces, but we would see the angels of God. There are demons. There is a devil. We're in a battle. We're in a warfare. But sometimes it's easy just to become overwhelmed with the darkness of the world and get our eyes off the Lord and to get our eyes off the divine protection that God has given us. The Bible declares that we are not to worship angels. Jesus alone is the object of our worship. Amen. Hebrews 1:4 says, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Colossians 2:18, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntarily humility and worshiping of angels. In Revelation 19, the 10th verse, John was about to fall down and worship an angel. But the angel said, John said, I fell at his feet to worship him. But he, that is the angel, said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant. And we're not here to worship angels. We worship the Lord Jesus Christ. But thank God for the angels who give us divine assistance on our way to heaven. The angels are real. They're the friends of the redeemed. They're the protectors of the redeemed. Now you won't ever become an angel. There's a verse in the song that says when a person dies that there'll be a brand new angel in the choir. Not unless God makes another one. Because saints don't ever become angels. God created angels. They're sinless beings, sinless creatures who were created for the glory of God and the service of God and the worship of God. No saint ever becomes an angel. And I don't want to become an angel. I'm glad I'm a saint. When I get to heaven, I'll be a saint. I'm as much a saint as Saint Paul. I may not act saintly, but I'm a saint because I've been washed in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Angels are wonderful. Angels are powerful. Angels are glorious. But they can't say what I can say. They can't sing what I can sing. They can never sing redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. They can never sing saved, saved, saved by the blood of the crucified one. I'd rather be a saint of God washed in Calvary's blood than to be an angel. Angels are glorious. And they're wonderful. But I have something better in my heart. His pure grace that has made me a saint. I'm getting too old to preach this hard. The angels of God are mighty creatures. They have the right to defend. They have the right to cheer. They have the right to rescue. They have the right to overthrow the wrong. They can steal rock jailhouses. They can still fill mountains with horses of fire, chariots of fire. that saved you and turned your steps 100 times and you were not aware of it. Charles Wesley's hymn says, which of the petty kings of the earth can boast a guard like ours with all the heavenly powers? You note their identity. Now we're not left to our imagination concerning the angels, but consider their mystery. No less than 273 times in this book you'll find the mention of angels. 108 times in the Old Testament. 165 times in the New Testament. Their capital is heaven, the busiest place in this universe. Most of the time they're unseen, but they're just as real as you and me. And for 6,000 years, I believe, they have kept a vigil on this earth and have kept a vigil on this planet. Now, there's a lot of superstitions, of course, about angels. In the Bible, for example, the angels are not represented with wings. The cherubims have wings. But the angels of God, who are below the cherubims, because as I understand it, there's Gabriel, Michael, who is the archangel. Just one archangel. And that's Michael. And he's the one that's going to sound the trumpet when the Lord himself should descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God shall sound. And then there's Gabriel below him, who is the messenger. And then there are the angels, and there are the seraphims, and there are the cherubims. The Bible declares of the angels, Jesus said, for the resurrection, they're equal to the angels in heaven. They neither marry nor given in marriage. And of course, the angels are sexless. They're always represented as male. They're glorious, spiritual, bright beings. But they have the ability to appear as a man, according to this book. They're no baby angels. But they make cute little figures in a flower garden. They're no weird old feminine angels. They're masculine. God created them that way. God made them that way. And they're always represented as males in the Bible. The angels were not born. They were created. God created the angels. Now there never has been a time that God was not. But there was a time when the angels did not exist. But God created the angels. When? I do not know. But I know when he created the world, they were around. For Job says the sons of the morning sang, and the sons of God shouted for joy at the creation of this world. They were created by God and for God. Their bodies are spiritual. 1 Corinthians 15:38 declares that there are celestial and there are terrestrial bodies. They have the ability to appear in a corporal form. The angels of God. You know their census. No one but God knows how many there are. Daniel said in the 7th chapter that there are 1,000 thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 1,000 stood before him. Revelation 5:11, and the rulers of them, and the number of them rather, was 10,000 times 1,000, and thousands of thousands, millions of angels before the throne of God, crying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." Do you think that if a sinner could go to heaven, that he would feel comfortable? Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, Brother Curtis, it'd almost be hell for a sinner to go to heaven. All we're going to do is serve God and worship God. Somebody said they wants to go to a place where all they do is worshiping and serving God. I do. And every person that's ever plunged beneath that crimson flow looks for the city. And heaven is such a place where there's nothing but praise and worship to God. Revelation, Hebrews 12:22 says, of those that are in the grace of God, that we have come into Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. There are companies of them. There are regiments of them. There are armies of them. The skies are covered with them. And they are the holy, sinless beings of God. They can be from heaven in a moment. Of course, that no one knows where heaven is except that it's up according to the Bible. Now, the sacrifice blood was always poured out toward the north side of the altar. And when God's city is referred to, it seems to be in the north. I do not know where heaven is, but I do know this, it's out there somewhere. And I know that there's no spaceship that could get there. But the angels can be from heaven quicker than I could ever tell you. In a flash. Now they might come from Mars and Jupiter every now and then and stop and look around. I don't know. But they can be here in a moment. And they've been coming and going for ever since God created this earth. God created them first, of course. But the angels of God are a reality. They can shake mountains and bring mountains to life. When God settled on Mount Sinai, that mountain was ablaze with the glory and the thunder of God and the angels of God. And that mountain literally shook as God Almighty settled down on that mountain. The angels are deathless. Jesus, speaking of the resurrection, said, neither can they die anymore, for they're equal unto the angels. They had no cradle. They'll have no grave. There's no angel graves on the hills of Zion or any other as far as that goes. They're from a land where no one ever grows old. When Ponce de Leon came to Florida, he was searching for the fountain of youth. He never found it. There's no such place on this earth, but the same angels that gazed upon Adam in the days of newborn time gaze upon you and me. They never get sick. They never get exhausted. They never get depressed. They never say, I feel bad. They never say, I'm sick. And then consider their swiftness. They can travel faster than the speed of light. The angels who met Abraham and Lot came out of heaven almost identically. And then look at their intelligence. They do not read literature books. The only textbook they have is the universe. The universe is their library. They got their training in eternity. They got their theology at the steps of the throne. The words in their books are stars. The sentences are galaxies. And the pictures they see are sunrises and sunsets. God has created these special beings. And God, of course, has not even revealed all of his secrets to the angels. That's amazing to me. There are some that seem to know when the Lord will return. And they seem to almost be able to tell you the street and the house number the Antichrist lives on. And there have been entire denominations that have been founded by men who said the Lord was coming on a certain date. I was in a house in Indiana some years ago where a group started. And they predicted that on a certain day the Lord would come and even sold all their property. But the Lord did not come that day. But they still got a denomination. And they're still talking about foolishness. But even the angels do not know the day or the hour Jesus said, but of that day and no an hour knoweth no man, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And one day the Father will say, it's time to go. And those in heaven will come with him back to this earth to receive the saints. And I'm sure that they're anticipating coming back for us as much as we are going. My good friend, Brother Ed McAbee, who went to be with the Lord just 2 summers ago, one of the last meetings we preached together in, Brother Ed said one day, you'll hear that Ed McAbee's dead. Don't believe a word of it. I'll be more alive than I've ever been. And he said, beside that, I'll be back to pick you up. That's what the book says. Those that have died in the Lord will come with him, and we shall be raised up in the clouds to meet our Lord in the air. There is their might. Psalm 103:20. Bless the Lord, ye angels, that excel in strength, that doeth his commandments, hearken unto the voice of the word. Two angels guarded the lost paradise of the Garden of Eden. Those cherubims with flaming swords who would have killed anyone who had tried to gain access to the tree of life. They protected Elisha from a Syrian army. Elisha looks out one morning and he sees the hills covered with a Syrian army, and sees their chariots and his servants overtaken with fear. But Elisha prayed, Lord, open his eyes. And the Lord opened his eyes, and his servant looked, and behind the Syrian army was the Lord's army, chariots of fire with horses of fire. And he said, they that be with us are more than they that are with them. They've got us surrounded, but the angels have them surrounded. And then it was a troop of angels that met Jacob at Mahanaim. When Abraham lifted up his knife to slay his son Isaac, it was an angel that prevented him from doing so. An angel went before Israel when they left Egypt. One angel, one night, slew 185,000 of Sennacherib's army. An angel shut the mouths of the lions so they could not devour Daniel. Somebody says those lions lost their appetite. I don't think so. Because when Daniel got out, they threw those princes in and they ate them. I believe God gave them lockjaw, Brother Steve. I can imagine one big old hungry, mean-looking lion saying, I sure would like to get a bite of him, but I couldn't get my mouth open. And another lion that says, it sure looks tasty, but I couldn't get my mouth open. God shut the mouths of the lions so they could not devour Daniel. The angel did that. An angel, you remember, slew 70,000 people in Jerusalem. An angel strengthened Jesus in the garden. An angel sat at the tomb. An angel had come down with an earthquake. He was sitting as, and he appeared as shining brightly and was illuminated. It was an angel that smote Herod and caused the worms to devour him because he took away God's glory. It was an angel who told Philip to go south toward the south, because that was an Ethiopian reading Isaiah 53, and he needed somebody to tell him what it meant. It was an angel who told Cornelius to send for Simon Peter, who would tell him words whereby he could be saved. And then there's their curiosity, their observation of worship. They themselves worship God. Revelation 5, and I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. And thousands of thousands said with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and honor and glory. They're said to be present when the church worships. 1 Corinthians tells us also that in giving instructions about worship, tells the women of that day to cover their heads because they're in the presence of angels, because those that had shaved heads were usually heathen. And at that time they were to cover their heads because they were in the presence of angels. Now, he didn't say you had to run out and find you a hat like the old days. But we're in the presence of the angels of God. They're interested in what we're doing. They take note of this preaching. They take note of this singing. They take note of this worship. They take note of individuals who testify of the saving grace of God. They're interested in what the church is doing. And God help us when we come to church to worship. Brethren, we've met to worship. And that should always be the center of a church service, is to worship God. Now, I don't know how the angels would feel about somebody riding a motorcycle down now, or somebody giving some kind of performance of entertainment. Vance Havner told about a horse that was trained, brought into a church, and they asked that horse how many commandments there were, and he stamped out 10 times, the number 10. Asked him how many disciples, and he stamped out the number 12. And they asked him how many hypocrites were there, and he went stamping and went wild and danced all over the church. There's a lot of things that the angels should not see that goes on in the name of church. Brethren, we're met to worship. We're in the presence of the holy angels of God. And they gazed at that mercy seat and every Jewish altar while waiting for the coming of our Lord. They saw him as he went to Calvary. They watched him stricken, smitten, afflicted of God. They watched him as he died. And they watched him on the third morning being raised from the dead. The angels have never experienced salvation. Redemption puts them at their wits' end. They've been studying it a long time, but they're no closer to understanding it than you and I are tonight. And then that day when angels have finished their earthly ministry and the saints of God, the glorified saints, are gathered before the throne, I do believe that we will rejoice with the angels of God. And in that day, the angels who veiled their face and stood mute when Jesus hung on the cross will rejoice at the finished work of the Son of God on the cross and the redemption of the saints. Their activity, lastly, their prophetical activity. Acts 1:10, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into the sky? This same Jesus shall so come again, as in like manner as you have seen him go." And in the end time, the angelic force, as they did in the beginning, will wage war in heaven. Their personal activity. And I'm just rushing through. And Hebrews 1:14, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation?" Jesus said in Matthew 18:10, "Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." I believe little children do have angelic protection. And they certainly do need it. But in a greater sense, he's talking to the redeemed of God, to those that belong to the family of God. God's personal and God's wonderful protection of his people. Dr. Nelson Bell, the father-in-law of Billy Graham, who was a missionary in China in the 40s, after the communists took over. At a Christian bookstore one day, he said, the place where Dr. Bell bought his books to distribute to his patients. In 1942, just after the Japanese had won the war with China, one morning around 9 o'clock, a military truck filled with half full of books, half full of confiscated books. The Chinese shop assistant was all alone, and the Marines made for the door, about to come in, but all of a sudden, before they could enter, a neatly dressed man entered the shop, and the soldiers seemed unable to follow him. And for 4 hours, they just wandered around looking in those large windows. And the stranger prayed with the shopkeeper and encouraged him and left. And the soldiers left as well. And later that shopkeeper said to Dr. Bell, "Do you believe that could have been an angel?" And Dr. Bell said, "I sure do. I believe it was an angel." Hebrews 13:2, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby have some entertained angels unaware." And Hebrews says that we meet the angels at our conversion. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? And so I do believe that our conversion, that God dispatched angels around us to protect us, to encourage us. I was just thinking today, I was in Doula Hospital. I was 11 years old with Bright's disease. And in those days, not many survived Bright's disease. There was no such thing as a kidney transplant, and most people died in the little Doula Hospital that's been torn down in Lenore a long time. And for 58 days I was there. Couldn't even be out of the bed but just 1 hour a day and except to go to the bathroom. And on a Sunday night, I can never forget it. I was in the room alone. There was a semi-private room, but no one was in the bed beside me, no patient. And a young man, well-dressed, I do not know who he was. I've never seen him before or since. But his picture right now before me is just like I've got a picture of him, Brother Dan. I can still see him. But he came in. I don't even know how he knew me. But he said, "Larry, would you like to go home tomorrow?" And I said, "I sure would." And he said, "Let's ask your father." And I can't forget the way he said it. "Your father. My father." And he asked God to let me go home. And matter of fact, he didn't ask God to let me. Thank God for letting me go home, just like it had been done. My doctor lived right across the street on the corner, Dr. Hickman. And I don't know that he knew God. But it wasn't 30 minutes, Brother Jack. He came over. The doctor did. The doctor. And said, "Larry, would you like to go home in the morning?" And I said, "I sure would." And I didn't know it, but sometime later, my grandmother, my grandparents raised me. Said Dr. Hickman called them about 9:30 or whatever that night and said, I'm going to let Larry come home in the morning. I don't think he's going to live. We're doing all we can. But I want him to die at home. And I went home. I didn't die. 60 years later, I'm telling the old story. I don't know who he was, but I won't be a bit surprised if I don't go in the rapture and have to go by the way of the grave first, Brother Rule. I wouldn't be that surprised, Brother Randy, when that angel cuts the silver cord of life. If I won't look and say, "I know you. I've seen you. Oh, you got a big imagination." No, I'm just rejoicing in the truths of this book. "He shall give his angels charge over thee." God the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost lives within me. But thank God I have angels. Angel protection. My dear pastor, Preacher Hugh Kincaid, many of you knew him. Oh, how I loved him. I never have announced my call to preach. He just asked me to preach Wednesday night, and I did. Of course, I knew I was supposed to. But I got to thinking, Brother Steve, he took a big chance asking me, but God told him to. But just before he died, about 2 months before he died, Brother Russell, I went in one day to see him. And you know how low he talks sometimes. He said, Brother Larry, I think the angels have been here. I didn't see them, but I think they've been here. And I said, really? I like to lost my breath. And I didn't say a word. And I think really that he did sense the presence of the angels. They come and got him in about 2 months and took him home. I was thinking about my good friend Billy Barho. And Brother Daniel, you know him, out in Brazoria, Texas. He pastors Victory Baptist Church right on the Chisholm Trail. And he told me this story many years ago. Brother Billy's had a stroke, light stroke, and he and his wife have had health problems. But I called Brother Billy, and I said, I want to get it right. About that time that your wife was on the interstate and the truck caught on fire. And he started crying and started telling me about it. And halfway through, he was crying, I was crying. I said, Brother Billy, could you wait? I need to run down the hall a minute. And I couldn't help it. Hallelujah. And so I talked to him again. And he said his wife, Miss Gloria, their daughter, Christine, had been visiting family or friends in Houston, Texas. They lived in Milana. And they were about 100 miles from home. And the truck caught on fire. And then we managed to pull it over. And, of course, people had gathered around. And she said, suddenly, there was a Suburban pulled up. And a nice-looking young man got out and said, I was sent here to help you. And the people standing around said, we're going to help her. And he said, no, I'm here to help her. And picked up her luggage, put it in the vehicle, drove 100 miles, didn't say a word. Got to their house, their ranch, and I've been stayed there many times. And she said, Gloria came, he said, Gloria came to the door, and I could tell something was wrong. And she said the truck caught on fire and burned up, but we're safe. And she said, this man has brought us home. And that man, Billy said, I didn't have another car. I didn't have any way to travel. He said, that man said, do you need a car? I'll get you one. And Brother Billy said, that's okay. But anyhow, that the man said, I'm going to leave you this pen. And he left him a pen with a scripture verse on it and was gone. Hadn't seen him since. He said, we tried to find that pen the next morning. We looked this house over. We couldn't find it. I believe that God just sent his angel to bring Miss Gloria home. And all the experiences of people of God could tell. When I come to die, it would be the angels to take me home, because it was the angels that carried Lazarus into Abraham's bosom. And they carried Lazarus into Abraham's bosom. Again, Billy Graham said of his grandmother, when she was dying, she sat up in bed and almost laughingly said, I see Jesus. And outstretched her arms and said, I see Ben. That was her husband. And she said, I'm almost home, and slumped over in the bed, dead, and went home to be with God. I'm grateful that when that hour comes, I have the promise of angelic transportation into the city of God. I know it won't be as long as it has been, but I know this, that when I come to die, the angels of God will escort me into the land of Beulah, in the very presence of God. My latest sun is sinking fast. My race is nearly run. My strongest trials now are past. My triumph is begun. I know I'm nearing holy ranks of friends and kindred dear. I breast the dew from Jordan's banks. The crossing must be near. I've almost gained my heavenly home. My spirit loudly sings. The holy ones, behold, they come. Oh, bear my longing heart to him who bled and died for me. Oh, come, angel band. Come and around me stand. Oh, bear me away on your snowy wings to my immortal home. Looking over Jordan, and what did I see? A band of holy angels coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home.